I hope all of you have access to the Bible today, and the familiar in the Bible needs to be read more closely. The unfamiliar needs to be read. Turn to Matthew 16. Great confession and the great promise that Jesus made. I am blessed to be in the building with a Willard Collins and a Jim Bell McIntyre. These are my heroes. I thank God. We need men to be men of God. We need to finish strong. And we need to pass it on. And that's why we're here today. I'm glad we included the wives. The elders make those wise decisions. I attended elders' meetings for 45 years. It was not my privilege to run into many wise decisions. But they make those wise decisions about what all the women are going to do down at the church. And the women kind of hear it kind of secondhand. And so I thank God for these ladies. My daddy was an elder. That made my mama an elder's wife. And so I understand that. And especially today, fellow servants, men, I'm glad the women are here, number one, because they'll listen. We men are not too good at that. Amen. And if anybody takes notes today, guess who? Men can't write and don't read. And the great blessing is that you women can explain my lesson and other lessons to your husbands going home today. So I'm glad you're here. The lady said, well, Brother Hodge, can we say amen? Now, don't go get us into trouble. Amen. I do tell you, men, if we don't say amen, they will start saying a woman. So let's get that stopped. But you women have something. Listen to me, ladies. What is this? Y'all have an elbow. Amen. And when a speaker today says something that Brother Collins said, that we believe, and it's in the book, and your husband is sitting there like a knot on a log, take your elbow and hit him in the fifth rib and make a man out of him. Amen? Equipping shepherds, pastors, elders, and the great service of God. Are you with me in Matthew 16? I can't see that clock, and when it gets to be 12, would somebody please stand up and I'll quit. To give you my lesson today, it's simple, in Matthew chapter 16. Jesus came not to build buildings and to raise budgets, but to make men. Amen? And he gave the apostles two things to equip them. And I think if it's good enough for the apostles, it ought to be good enough for us. And I know it worked because the gospel was carried to the world before that century ended. There were churches all over the Roman Empire before the second century ever began. And I hope you'll take notes, folks. You all have come, and I can't equip you if you won't equip. Number one, Jesus gave the apostles a cross. And then he gave them an empty tomb. And that's all they had and all they needed. And they turned the world upside down. And we're hunting a gimmick and trying to hire a spiritual rankdom. You can't hire anybody to build God's church. Only God can do that. We need men today that have taken up the cross and have looked into the empty tomb. They didn't have computers, audio, visual, jet planes. But they had a cross, and they had the faith of the resurrection. If you're with me in Matthew 16, Jesus took his guys up into the northern part of what we call the Holy Land, away from the crowds and the hoopla and the goings on. And in the very strong hill, the very eyeball of Satan, and today, there are still artifacts of idolatry, pagan temples and idols. And what is always true, who are we? And what do we really believe? And question number one, what do men say? Folks, that doesn't amount to much, but it does amount. We need to know what the world thinks. And the answers were pretty good. But, beloved, I'm standing here saying that Jesus Christ is exclusive, the only one. He's not a comparative. And Moses and John the Baptist were men of God, but not the saviors of mankind. And Muhammad is dead and buried. And Buddha is dead and buried. There's nothing more worthless than a dead savior. But Jesus lived. He is risen. And so Jesus then gave them the big question. And pastors, shepherds, elders today, this is your question. Who is Jesus? Who am I? And Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He made 100 on the test. Amen. And Jesus blessed him. But we've missed a lot because it's familiar, folks. Peter answered with the fact, but he misunderstood the faith. It's not enough, folks, for a man just to say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Who is the real Jesus? In the very next chapter on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus was there with Moses and Elijah, remember Peter wanted to build 3 church houses. Y'all remember that? You see, he wanted to possess the glory without any effort, without any pain. We want a pain-free Christianity today, folks. It doesn't exist. We want a mystical, twistical, incomprehensible, feely-good. And that is not the spirituality of Jesus. And Peter still had his facts right. But before that rooster crowed, he denied knowing Jesus three times. Amen? It's not enough for our fellow citizens with religion to have some kind of a relationship with Jesus. What am I trying to tell us, folks? Peter, like our world today, wanted Jesus without a cross. And it failed him that night. Jesus was betrayed. Only one of the 12 apostles made it to the cross, and that's John, and he never opened his mouth. Judas betrayed him. Peter denied him. The others scattered like quail. The reason was they would not accept Christ with a cross. Oh, Brother Hodge, to get a crowd, you've got to give them what you want. Well, that's all you've got. Beloved, the gospel is offensive. The cross is a stumbling block to the Jew and foolishness to the Gentile. Jesus here in Matthew 16, immediately after blessing Peter, said, "I'm going and I'm going to die. Read it with me." And Peter grabbed him like Billy Martin used to do, baseball umpire. Like brethren grab preachers in the foyer after a scintillating sermon. That's amazing to me, the humility of Christ to let a bunch of us folks correct him. Amen? But I want to tell you, are you reading with me right here in Matthew 16? He said, "Peter, I'm not the Christ that you want. And that Christ is not going to do you any good." And you know what he did? He called him Satan. "I've done outrageous things, but I, tomorrow, Brother Collins, am not going to stand in this pulpit and call anybody a devil or anybody Satan." Amen? This is one of Jesus' inner three. The fellow that preached the first sermon and had the first 3,000 baptisms. But until Peter could understand Christianity with a cross, he was useless. And Jesus couldn't let him get by with it. We don't have bargain counter religion. It's not on sale, let alone a fire sale, folks. Down in church today, we're passing out everything but crosses. We pass out food. We pass out clothes. We pass out therapy. We pass out entertainment. Is that all bad? No. But folks, that's not our job. Amen? The church is not a Salvation Army, and it's not a Red Cross. Satan tempted Jesus to sell out in Matthew 4, folks, to be a bread king. Right? To put on a show, jump off the temple, and to give them what they want. Beloved, today the church has but one power, and that gospel is the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen? Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." We today are ashamed of baptism. I heard Willard say that we're ashamed just to carry a Bible around and be a Bible thumper. We are ashamed to take our stand that Jesus Christ died for our sins, and shame on us. Peter, you got to give Jesus Christ his cross. The only thing Jesus ever passed out, James and John and their mama tried to get what they want, and they didn't get it. And he said, all you get is a cup, a cross. And if you'll keep reading in Matthew 16, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross, look at it daily, and come and follow me. The only command of Jesus is follow me. And beloved, Christ had a cross, and every Christian has a cross. The power of an elder, folks, is the degree in which he carries his cross. Amen? I'm not interested in the work. I'm interested in the worker. I'm here to build men and not to erect buildings. That means, folks, we've got to be broken and humble and penitent and submissive. Amen? Colossians 3:1-4, we die. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, I die daily. Our lives are hid with Christ in God. Elders, lead the church on your knees. Turn it back over to God. And don't go any faster than you can go on your knees. He not only gave us a cross, folks, he gave us an empty tomb. The women, by the way, y'all are here today, saw Jesus first. And we men thought you were nutty. Amen? I kind of rubbed that in. But John came to that empty tomb and looked in and believed. Those cowards that fled that betrayal night became lions, and they all died a martyr's death. Folks, the difference why we're here today is an empty tomb. And you see, by taking up our cross and dying to self, sin, and society, and following Jesus, who said, come unto me. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What elders need are life. I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it abundantly. Folks, dead people don't need therapy. They don't need gimmicks. They need life. And we were dead in our trespasses and sin. Romans 6, we were baptized into Christ, resurrected into Christ, and have come forth in newness of life. The church doesn't need a revival today. It needs a resurrection. A preacher about 30 years ago came to Dallas. And he said, God strike all the dead elders dead. Well, that's not right. Amen? I'm saying God strike them all with life. Amen? You can't have a dead eldership and a living church. Wives, going home today, hand your husbands a cross. And put some life into them. Amen? Life. Programs don't have life. Folks, our brotherhood never has as much activity as it has today and less life. We're doing everything but what we ought to be doing. But folks, the cross of Christ and an empty tomb has changed the world. If I were an elder, I would stay in confession. And to go back into the old Bible where sins were remembered year by year, I don't think it'd be bad if each church eldership every year. Don't try it, by the way, to roll sins forward. Where did that come from? When I was a little kid, I heard their sins were rolled forward year by year. Did y'all hear that over here in Nashville? I used to go look down the road and see if some sin was running down the road. But I'd like to think it'd be good if every eldership every year would get that on their knees, or even better, down face down, and confess their sins and the sins of the church. And then ask God to put some life in them. Christ is life, folks, and when you're baptized, you put on Christ, so you put on life. How do you sustain life? The body has to be. I'll give you three things before that quick clock. That's the fastest clock I've ever seen. Number one, folks, we've got to get back into evangelism. Amen? We're out of it. We're out of it. I fully believe in Dallas, a visitor could go to our churches for a whole year and never learn what to do to be saved. Are y'all dead or alive out there? I'm trying to put some life into it. Revelation 3, Sardis had the biggest church, the biggest name preacher, the biggest annual lectureship. And they were big into this and big into that. And God Almighty looked out of heaven's window and made this simple statement that ought to bring your hair on the back of your neck. Thou art dead. With all of our activities, folks, we can be dead in the water. There's just two questions. What is the business of the church? Well, that's to seek and to save the lost. Amen? Question number two, how is business? And folks, some churches don't need a baptistry. Amen? They don't need a baptistry. If you turn to the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, there are just two big works of the church. Save souls and make saints. Amen? Save souls and make saints. Baptize the lost, develop the saved. Y'all understand that? Only two things we need to know, and we don't know either one of them. We need to know the lost are lost, and we need to know the saved are saved. We really don't believe today in our subjective society that anybody's lost. I could just nearly spit if you'd let me say that. If I read in the Saturday paper, Church of Christ preacher come Sunday is going to preach on relief from stress. Beloved, Jesus didn't come to die on a cross to give us relief from stress. Amen. We ought to look at our programs. There ought to be one barometer, folks, and that is evangelism. What's it doing in the way of evangelism? Somebody said, Brother Hodge, the way we used to do it don't work anymore. That's not so. We're not working like we did before. I'm a member of the downtown YMCA in Dallas, and I don't really know what's going on, but they fired our, whoever it is, the main guy that runs the Y. And they said, we got problems, and like I said, I don't even know what they are. So I walked in the other day, and it's kind of like this. They had come in, and in a very incompetent way, just here, there, and yon, had painted walls purple. I just want to tell you something, folks. If you want a purple wall, you can have it. But if you got bad problems down at the YMCA, purple walls ain't going to fix much. Amen? Hello? And that, We've got trouble down there. What are you going to do? We're doing dumber things, folks, than painting walls purple. Amen? Folks, having a facelift is not going to help your heart. And putting on a new coat of paint is not going to take care of foundational problems. If you want to sustain, Brother Hodge, how can I keep my health and life and energy as an elder? I need pumped up. Well, don't bring in a guy like me to pump you up, because you've got a slow leak, and in about 2 weeks it'll all ooze out. You want to keep life, folks, save somebody. There are no problems in any brotherhood, folks, that a few baptisms can't cure. And when we're out of evangelism, folks, all of our excitings and folks jumping up and down like with a jump rope does not constitute profound spirituality. May I give you the one solution you asked me to equip you? Can I tell you, elders, how to keep your church healthy and alive and the brotherhood vibrant and cooperative and growing? Can I give you the answer? I got it. Are you listening? Every congregation, plant a new congregation every 5 years. We're starting a new church out in North Dallas. There's 1 million people out in that area, and there's not a church within 15 miles. And all the surrounding churches are already, before it's ever got started, trying to shut it down. Why? Because they're so scared they're going to lose a member. Hello? And we proselyte, and when you proselyte sheep, you get goats. I'll tell you that. We talk about how to grow a church. We'll go out there where there's 1 million people moving in. No, folks, that's movement, swelling. To get us out of our pride and numbers and all of this, if you would just have it down and the members would know it and you'd be excited about it and pray for it, if you'd start a new church. The Baptists are big into baptisms. I have fun laughing at them. If it ain't worth a dime, why are they so proud that they're doing it? But what they really do, folks, we need to learn this. They are planting congregations. And any year in the Southern Baptist, when they're down, why? Because the future of the Southern Baptist lies in the planting of new churches. And a young fine man, 40 years old, called me last week. And he said, "Brother Hodge, how do you start a church?" And it dawned on me he had never seen one start. "But we may lose one of our best elders and our song leader and the group that we go out and eat Sunday after church." All baloney, folks. We need to die to self and take up our cross. And planting churches, folks, will solve all of your pride and selfish problems. The second thing in how to keep life, folks, you got to do it with preaching. I never thought I'd have to stand in Nashville and defend preaching. Less and shorter. Brother Hodge, we're going to give you 10 minutes, and we want you to give a profound overview of the Trinity of God. Amen? Beloved, the pulpit uniquely in worship represents God. A preacher is not the voice of God, but he allows the voice of God to be heard. And your preacher tomorrow, wherever you are, should have spent the week trying to figure out what God was saying to that church, and as best he could, to get up and do it. And you members ought to go to assembly tomorrow to hear the voice of God. And I don't care how much the man blunders and stumbles. If he's an honest man and he's got his Bible open and he's talking about God, if you really listen, you can still hear the voice of God. How done can you do it? We did it in Fort Worth. We had the big bus ministry about 25 years ago. God's fixing to show up and worship. Huh? Yeah, he's coming to preach. So we take all our kids and send them to Bible Hour. To puppets. Have y'all thought about that? God is fixing to show up, and he's impractical and useless, and so let's send them back here to a puppet. Beloved, 25 years later, and this asking Hodge, wouldn't it have been better if they'd heard the voice of God? I don't find our kids to be geniuses in the Bible. Amen? Are y'all with me on this? Folks, in assembly is family time. And I'd be more careful. And I'll tell you, see what we've done now, God's useless. The only thing down at church we can trust God to do is to mow the yard and take out the trash. Amen? If a man's really got problems, you need a specialist. Hello? You need a therapist. You need one of our programs. You need to hear our guru. I'm scared of these gurus that's got a straight line to God apart from the Bible. Amen? I want to tell you something. The church began with preaching, and it was built on preaching. And you can't have a great church with bad preaching or no preaching. My Bible says that the Bible is the living, active Word of God. Jesus says, "The words I speak are spirit and life." Hear me? Spirit and life. Elders, you need to hire you a preacher that's a man of God, not a spizzorinktum, not image, not a PR guy, a promoter, an entertainer, a comedian. You need to hire a man that has spent time with God and loves God and His Word. And you ought to tell him, get up in that pulpit, and we want the brethren every Sunday to hear a word from the Lord. Today we don't preach the Bible, we just kind of refer to it. And brethren, please, elders, your Bible classes ought to be Bible classes. Down in Texas now, we've got Mayberry RFD. I want to tell you something, you're never going to develop Christians, folks, in congregations on TV work. Amen? We're hyping the messenger, but we don't know the message. May I give you this? When the men don't preach, the women will. Folks, it is the unique work of God to raise the dead. That's why I told you the cross, you got to have a cross, a death, before you can have a resurrection. You got to die before you can have a resurrection. And come tomorrow, the Lord will end standing in this very pulpit. In 30 minutes, I can give God an opportunity to raise the dead. Preaching, folks, is the only thing that can do that. It is putting the cross of Christ down in the bottom of a man's heart, and it turns him inside out. And the power's in the message. The power's in the gospel. And the third thing this morning, by the way, Brother Collins, he can still out holler me. But that's nearly like walking on water. Remember, Peter walked on water to shut Brother Collins up in less than 5 minutes. Amen? I tell you, it's embarrassing, folks, for Brother Collins to sit down and Hodge get up and take his place. Amen? I was hoping he would just keep on going. But number three this morning, how to sustain this life that equips elders. Please write this one down. Conviction. Conviction. Conviction, folks. Jesus up there said to the 12, "Who am I?" He knew they had to know. They said they did, but they didn't. And they all kerplunked. But that resurrection, that empty tomb. Folks, Jesus is not just a nice guy. He's not just a Jewish rabbi. He's just not a man that did a lot of good. And we all kind of have. Folks, Jesus Christ is the sovereign creator of this universe. That empty tomb says He has destroyed Satan and sin and death and hell. So it changed the apostle. Everywhere I go today, brethren are asking me, is there truth? That's a good question, but let's go one back. Is God God? Elders, that's the issue. If God is God, then there is truth. If there is God, nothing else matters. If there is no God, nothing matters. Is Jehovah God, God? The most important question you can teach your teenagers tomorrow in class, is the Bible the Word of God? That's it. If it is, folks, we'd better hold it as the Bible says with trembling hands. And if not, folks, there is no hope on earth. To you wonderful elders today, you're going to make decisions and it's going to be based on one or two things, either statistics or Scripture. And the world today is more interested in statistics. Oh, Brother Hodge, it'll get a crowd. God never told me to get a crowd. Amen? John 6, Jesus ran the crowd off. Elders, be lifelong learners. If we don't teach it, they won't know it. I want to make three statements and then repeat what I've already said. We gotta know who we are. We gotta believe what we believe. We gotta believe what we believe. Take up your cross. Look at, like John, into that empty tomb. Have resurrection faith. Finish strong. And pass it on.